small words echo with your universe-wide voice. May our thoughts be filled from Logos of creation to life itself, it is Christ. Amen. I often am amazed at voice recognition techniques. I used to think it was about humans until I worked among the farms of Midlothian. And you walk into a field full of sheep, and it was lambing, it was springtime. And late springtime, and the lambs would be on one side getting some kind of inoculation, and the mothers would be on the other side, and there would be this cacophony of men buying and sounds. Every single mother, every single lamb recognized each other's voice. Out of all that crazy sound. Or I mean, as a child, I remember walking through Little Woods in Glasgow being completely lost. As a child, I hated shopping. And so the best thing to do whenever a family were shopping was to make for the door. And I could hear my father's voice through all the people talking. I could hear him shouting, "Peter, come away from the door." I knew that voice instantly. Wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had the same inner ear, soul ear, recognition of the voice of God? As E.E. Cummings writes it, "May the ears of my ear be open." Our readings today offer us three different notes for the voice of God, as if it's a song big enough in harmony. And the first note is what I would think of as the classic note, the one that you expect, Psalm 29, the voice of God like thunder through the whole of creation. It uses some really vast, powerful descriptions of the voice of God. What do we have? We have the roar over the ocean. Now, I think I'm imagining the Atlantic Ocean and not Lac Le Mans. I don't know if Lac Le Mans ever tumbles with waves. It does. Wow, fantastic. I'd like to see that, I have to say. But I'm picturing the west coast of the Atlantic. Maybe we're talking about Galicia, or we're talking about west of Scotland, where you can't actually stand up in the roar of that wind and that wave. And you can imagine that's the voice of God, can't you? That roar of wind. Or there's lightning, or there's oak twisting, forest flattening, rain thudding, wind. The classic universe-wide voice of God. I love the way the psalmist concludes the voice of the temple. And this is where cooking your ears really came into my mind when I was speaking earlier in the week. In amongst the thunder, he says, it's like in the temple when everyone says, "Glory!" And you realize in the temple worship in Israel, it was more like the sound of a huge football field. The word glory in Hebrew sounds a bit like this, excuse my pronunciation, kabod. Kabod. And you can imagine kabod echoed with 200,000 voices all at once, bursting around. And he said, that's the volume of God. Powerful. Eugene Peterson describes how one of his neighbors, who was in his combine harvester, was looking at Eugene on the edge of the field where he shouldn't be, and he started to wave at him like this from the I guess the cabin of the combine harvester, and he waved to him, and Eugene ran away because he thought he'd been given a ride. And as rather surly, he described him as a surly Norwegian American neighbor, said to him, "Why did you run away? I was saying, come over here." And Eugene said, "I thought you were giving me a row." He said, "Eugene, what is come here in your language?" He went, he said, I come here in such a feeble, pathetic way when I wanted to say, come? Classic voice of God saying to us all, come. But sometimes our ears are not tuned to it. We are used to the small voice. We don't hear the big voice of God in the mountains, louder than avalanche, saying, come, I love you, come. And the second note is the note of John the Baptist. If the first note is a vast note, the second note is a sharp tongue. A sharp tongue voice. Now, for those of you who grew up in Scotland, you'll know the sharp tongue voice. We were talking about this earlier, weren't we? The sharp tongue voice where we protect ourselves by self-appreciating humour before everyone actually gets to us first. The sharp tongue voice of John the Baptist. And sometimes we actually long for the voice of God to be that sharp. In one of the congregations I worked in, there was a stained glass window with the word justice written on it. And justice was a lady leaning on a big sword. And we talked about that big sword quite a lot when I was talking to the kids in the church, because they thought the sword was a sword of power, but it wasn't. It was a sword of separating out right from wrong. The sharp tongue sword can distinguish. John the Baptist was like that completely, wasn't he? He was the sharp-tongued sword. In his voice, even Jesus is the winnowing fork, separating out. The Holy Spirit in his voice becomes an unquenchable fire, burning the chaff. People love to hear John giving this straight down the line until it was said about them. Herod gets it. He doesn't like it. And he adds to his crimes by putting John in prison. And we long for the sharp-tongued truth, don't we, in the world of fake news and spun news and lots of misinformation. But until we realise, until the finger of John is actually pointing at us, then it becomes. And the third note, and this is the one I call the radical note, because it goes right to the radix, right to the root of who we are as human beings. And it's a powerful but gentle note. It comes on dove's wings. It comes not over the stormy Atlantic, but in the muddy River Jordan, a babbling brook of a muddy river. And it said over Jesus, and the voice says this, and Luke and Matthew and Mark are very clear, this is the voice of God. The voice of God says this, you are my own dear son, whom I love, with whom I am. Or as I prefer, in whom I delight. Jesus describes his baptism as Luke describes it. People were being baptized and Jesus was one of them. What a great description of the incarnation. Jesus was one of us. Jesus described his own baptism as when he is crucified. My baptism will be complete, he says, when I am crucified. In other words, when I become fully human in birth, in life, and death. He becomes one of us. So that we are one with him. The voice of God to Christ becomes for us through Christ. For all who are baptized. One of the lovely things about the Scottish and French Reformed baptismal service is I get to say something to a child, usually a child when the child is baptized. It's amazing. I get the privilege of holding a little child who can't understand what you're saying and telling the child that this child, that you are loved by God. Because that's the meaning of baptism, that you're completely and utterly loved before you. you do anything. You are utterly loved. What a privilege to share that. That's the meaning of baptism. That before we have done anything, this is said to us in Christ. You are my own dear child, whom I love, in whom I delight. How hard it is to hear. That is the hardest, most radical thing ever to hear, the good news of Christ in Christ. This is what it's said to us. It's hard to hear. Of all the words that someone has said about another human being, these are God's words. Of all the words that someone has said about you or about me, these are God's words. You are my own dear child, whom I love. In you I delight. But it's hard to hear, isn't it? It's hard to listen to that. We prefer John the Baptist's pointy finger, or we prefer the thunder of Sam. Good timing. We prefer the thunder of Psalm 29. This is the radical one. Back in 2014, Heidi and I set up an arts project. This is a piece we call a Peacemaker's Loom. It's actually a giant French knitting loom, a tricotin. I think it's in French, or a strictly so if you're German. It's a giant French knitting loom. Maybe you remember them. Small bobbins with nails in them that you would gradually work wool round, and out would come a long, long tube of wool. I'm not sure we're supposed to do the long tube of wool, but out of it would come a long tube of wool. And so we built this during the Commonwealth Games, which is an international mini-Olympics for British Commonwealth countries, or international Commonwealth countries. And they came to Glasgow in 2014. There were hundreds of thousands of people in Glasgow. It was lovely. It was a really exciting, vibrant time. And we opened the door of the church onto the street, which left us open, and had this, invited people to come and to knit on our French knitting room. Call it Peacemakers, because what we did is we literally walked beside people. So imagine someone standing beside me at waist height, and someone is standing beside me, and I show them the stitch, and basically walk around with them and listen to their story. It started as a 2-week project and lasted for 3.5 years. Because we discovered they're listening. Was life-changing. It changed us. It changed the church. It changed the people that were there. As the wool was eventually cast off, it becomes this large thing in the middle of the church. We stretched it back to the ceiling, and people came in and they would look at the artwork and they would. Sometimes they talked for hours, sometimes for minutes. And the people who were listeners, there was a team of about 5 of us, we were trained not to tell people about the church, or tell people what to think. We were just there to listen. And amazing things started to happen. As I was listening to someone, I would start to hear them answer their own questions. In their own words. So I would hear them talking to themselves because I was sitting listening. And something even deeper happened. I could hear in the words they were saying to themselves the voice of God speaking to them. And it was as if God was speaking to them through their own words. Which was just overwhelming. Occasionally they'd be a bonus, and I would actually hear the voice of God speaking to me through what they were saying. And that wasn't as important as hearing the voice of God in their own words said to themselves. And we had offered to pray, and almost everyone welcomed the offer of prayer. And over 3.5 years, we learned to listen, to recognize that voice, the voice of God. And in hundreds and thousands of it, we lost count. We didn't want to count because every one person was important as the 50 people who came in. But I reckon there were somewhere between 12 and 15,000 people came through the doors in the first year. And it wasn't counting. We learned to listen to the voice of God. And I so often felt that what was said was the... So I think the next slide is easier just to say this. I better say this before I go on to say what I really want to say. On Friday the 25th, 7 o'clock, if you want to find out more about the kind of artworks that Heidi and I have been involved in, including the Peacemaker Project, come along. I think you know the address. Come along. And we can talk more about the work we do as artists and this listening and engaging in the culture we enable through the artwork we make. And what I want to really say is through the listening, we discover that there are hundreds of ways of paraphrasing, of repeating in different ways that same word from Jesus' baptism. You are my only dear child, whom I love, and whom I delight. And I felt that that was the purpose of the Peacemaker's Loom, to stand beside people whom God has saved. And I wonder if that's the purpose of church, for us to be beside one another as we slowly discover that is what's being said to us. And as we walk out the doors to the people beside whom we work, with whom we encounter in the supermarket or on the buses and metro, and to think, all of these people, God is saying exactly the same thing. You are my dear child, whom I love, and you I delight. For what is said to Christ is said to all of us in Christ, and is said to the whole world through Christ.